And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Alaska students posted some of the lowest scores in the country in national reading and math test results that were released yesterday. Alaska Public Media's Tim Rocky reports.
The National Assessment of Educational Progress, or NAEP, is typically given every 2 years to fourth and eighth grade students. Alaska students scored 49th nationally in fourth grade reading and math and eighth grade reading. Students testing in eighth grade math ranked 46th. Nearly 500,000 students were tested between January and March of last year. Individual student results can reach or exceed three categories: basic, proficient, and advanced. Students in the state lost significant ground since the last time the test was given in 2022. An additional 5% of Alaska students scored below basic in both reading and math, which is consistent with national trends. In a press release from the Alaska Department of Education, Commissioner Dina Bishop said, quote, "To accelerate our learning, we must use money differently." Overall, the national results show that students are not making the progress needed to make up for lost learning during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the gap between the highest performing and lowest performing students is widening. A press release from the National Center for Education Statistics says the number of eighth graders who scored below the threshold for basic learners is the largest in the history of the nationwide assessment in math, which dates back to 1969. The number of fourth grade students nationally who scored below basic in reading is the most in the last 20 years. In Anchorage, I'm Tim Rocky.
State regulators have fined proponents of the 2024 ranked choice repeal ballot measure nearly $157,000 for what officials called egregious and widespread violations of campaign finance laws. The Alaska Public Offices Commission issued its unanimous final order in the long-running case on Monday. The five commissioners levied unusually large penalties in this case, brought against ranked choice opponent Art Mathias and three groups led by Mathias and Phil Izon. The six-figure civil penalty follows earlier fines of roughly $90,000. The case stretches back to July of 2023. That's when ranked choice advocates accused the groups of failing to register with regulators, file accurate reports on time, and disclose the true source of their campaign funds. Scott Kendall represents Alaskans for Better Elections, which brought the case to the Campaign Finance Agency, also known as APOC.
They got ordered to comply with the law and given pretty explicit instruction from APOC, this is how you comply, and they just ultimately did none of the things they were told to do.
Commissioner said Izon and Mathias groups had, quote, proven themselves shockingly poor at complying with their reporting obligations, unquote, and issued the maximum fine allowed by law. Izon declined to comment. In filings with campaign regulators, the group said they planned to dissolve or already had, which would leave no one to pay the fines. Representatives for the groups did not attend a hearing on January 16th, where the commission considered the order. Kendall says it all adds up to a deliberate attempt to avoid accountability, and he says he's worried the episode could serve as a model for politicians looking for a loophole in state campaign finance laws.
If this behavior is allowed, then future political players have every incentive to form a sham entity, do whatever they want to do, not report, and as soon as they get a complaint against them, they just bankrupt the entity.
The commission said in its order the decision, quote, vindicates the public interest, even if dissolving the groups makes enforcing the fines more difficult. Kendall says he'd like to see APOC levy the fines directly against Izon and Mathias. They can appeal the decision in court within 30 days. And the Trump administration prompted nationwide uncertainty this week with a broadly worded memo that froze federal grants and loans. It has since been rescinded, but officials in Alaska are still scrambling to understand the impact of a prior Trump administration freeze that halts spending on infrastructure projects. KFSK's Hannah Floor reports on how that is playing out in Petersburg.
Petersburg's Carl Hagerman is on the board of a hydropower nonprofit in southeast Alaska.
I did not have a sense that this was going to happen.
He's talking about the funding freeze President Donald Trump issued on his first day in office when he signed the executive order Unleashing American Energy. It was for all projects paid for through two laws Congress passed during the Biden administration, which includes funding for a regional project to expand hydropower generation. Hagerman says it never occurred to him that the Trump administration would try to pull money Congress had already approved.
I assumed that any projects that were established, I figured those programs would move forward, did not see that these would be put on hold hopefully just temporarily at this point, but we don't know.
The Southeast Alaska Power Agency, or SEPA, produces wholesale energy from two hydropower facilities in the Central Panhandle. The nonprofit was set to get $5 million in federal money to partly fund a generator and turbine. That would increase its energy generation capacity for the southeast towns of Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. While the funding is on hold, Hagerman is still hopeful the project will eventually move forward. His optimism comes in part from a line in Trump's executive order, which cites hydropower as a preferred energy source.
That is a hydro project, and that does align with the new administration's goals as far as energy. So chances are it'll probably survive as well, but we're all trying to figure out what this means, so no guarantees.
The Trump administration plans to review the infrastructure grants over the next 90 days to ensure they don't further Biden's policies or hinder Trump's. Petersburg Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht had already been struggling to figure out which of the borough's many federal funding sources were on pause. Then, on January 27th, the White House announced a funding freeze to all federal loans and grants. A federal judge temporarily blocked the freeze. Then the White House rescinded the broader freeze. Giesbrecht says the whole thing has been really confusing. He's getting different answers from different people at different times.
What we found was, in many cases, they weren't exactly sure what was going on either. And so that there's a lot of work talking to, you know, the administration to sort of figure out exactly who does this apply to.
The borough was expecting nearly $1 million for a breakwater at the boat launch south of town. At first, Giesbrecht thought that money was safe. Now, he's not so sure. The same goes for a region-wide study on trash disposal alternatives. He says funding for an already finished hydropower plant upgrade is definitely on pause. Ditto for just announced funding for a new boat haulout. That project was supposed to go out to bid by the end of January.
You know, this is the time of year we schedule a lot of those projects to get started. So we're doing paperwork and making sure money's where it's supposed to be so we can get things bid out. And all that comes to a screeching halt.
He says even a short pause can make it difficult for projects to move forward. U.S. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski is concerned about that, too. She says she heard from one project manager who was worried that if they paused their projects for 90 days, they'd be set back a whole year.
In order to move a project through in Alaska, you've got to get the building materials, you've got to get the materials lined up so that they can be mobilized, put on a barge to get to the region in time for the construction season.
She says it's just one example of questions she's getting from Alaskans, questions she doesn't know how to answer yet. In Petersburg, with reporting help from Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., I'm Hannah Flohr.
And this week, Juneau is seeing some snow, and that comes after a winter that hasn't gotten nearly as much as usual. KTOO spoke with skiers and snowboarders this morning who've been waiting patiently to hit the slopes.
How is it? Have you gone up?
So good.
So good, huh?
Up at Eagle Crest Ski Area Thursday morning, Holly Harris is glad to squeeze some runs in on a long-awaited heavy snow day.
It's filling in fresh, so you get fresh tracks every run, wherever you go.
She moved to Juneau from New Zealand in November, and she says she couldn't pass up coming out today, even if just for a bit.
I just took a couple of laps. I'm meant to go to work now, so.
But she says she'll be back tomorrow. The ski area opened the Ptarmigan Lift Wednesday, which takes skiers and boarders up to the top of several runs, greens, blues, and even some double blacks. Due to a lack of snow so far this winter, Eagle Crest Ski Area has only been able to open one lift until this week, the short Porcupine chairlift that doesn't extend to the top of the mountain. A recent city meeting outlined some big costs Eagle Crest is facing in the coming years, so selling some lift tickets this week is a welcome change from the beginning of the season. Jeff Garman is a forecaster with the National Weather Service Juneau office. He says January 2025 has gotten about a foot less snow than the average Juneau January, and that's measured at the airport.
And there's some spots like Eagle Crest that, you know, may be significantly more below normal because they've had a lot more rain on the mountain than we've had.
This week's snowfall will help close the gap, he says. Then the weekend is slated to be sunny and cold. It should make for some good views from the slopes. Today, the snowfall means there isn't a lot of visibility on the mountain. But that's not stopping Nelson Merrill.
It is awesome. Everyone should come up and enjoy the snow.
And he's not dwelling too much on the late season opening.
I've lived here my whole life.
Okay, how has this year been compared to other years?
Today is great.
Ptarmigan's first chair is at 9 a.m. daily. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 26 degrees and still snowing. We might still get a little bit more snow tonight, and the winter storm warning that's in effect right now lasts until 9 p.m. Tonight, it looks like it might slow down, and tomorrow looks like it could be windy but clear and cold. And that looks true for the weekend as well, with sunshine and temperatures in the teens. And we're getting 8 hours of daylight these days and gaining 4 minutes a day. This is KTOO.